It's time for our weekly chat with National Party MP Christopher Luxon.
This morning I caught up with National MP Christopher Luxon for our weekly chat. We discussed a new COVID-19 bill proposed by the government, which gives them the right to postpone local elections, which he has taken issue with. We also discussed the National Party's latest goals around COVID-19. Bear in mind, this interview was done before the government's announcement this morning around restrictions. We started by talking about the government's bill and why he doesn't think they should have the power for several years to push back local body elections.
The reason they're giving is that so that they can, you know, more flexibly manage elections during a pandemic. But the key issues are that those proposed powers sort of then carry on forever. They don't just apply to the 22 elections, they go for subsequent elections on that. You've got a government that says it wants to stop lockdowns, and so, you know, it's sort of not planning to be in a lockdown scenario once we have high levels of vaccination. And I guess the main thing is that why do you need to do it now? If that's a problem that happens to us in September next year, like we found with the election last year in October, it was able to be delayed, as you remember, as we went through different lockdown scenarios last year. So, you know, if that's the case, pass legislation at that point. But otherwise, what it is a big sort of constitutional, electoral sort of overreach that's not really necessary. And there are powers today where local governments can delay elections locally, and also the government has an ability post the Christchurch earthquakes already to delay an election at least just 6 weeks in a single increment. So we're just saying, hey, listen, look, that just seems like a big overreach and a bit of overkill. And we put our case through the select committee process. And obviously, when the first reading of the bill goes to the parliament, and now the second reading has gone. And the good news is, it's more promising news, is that the Labor government have said, look, we recognise some of the concerns that you've raised, and we're going to propose that we put an amendment to that piece of legislation when it comes back to parliament next week. So the trick now is to make sure that that piece of legislation puts the checks and balances in place so that electorally and constitutionally there isn't an overreach. And if that's the case, that's something that we've been able to get on board with. But at this point, we'll have to wait and see what the government does.
So as you say, Labor has recognised some of those concerns and is at least talking of working on addressing them. And Labor and National have also come together this week around the new housing policies. Are you sort of starting to get along better as parties, do you think?
Well, I think, you know, that's another good example where, you know, we have a housing crisis that has built up over many, many years. The government, it's got away on the government over the last 4 years in particular. You know, if you think about the rapid rising in house values, up over 47%. When you think about the increase in rents, up over 30%. When you think about a fourfold increase of people in emergency and transitionary housing, we know that it's just getting away. And so it's a good example where being able to, essentially we propose, and you and I have talked about that before, was if we were in government today, what could we do tomorrow to start to work on the housing crisis? And we put together a housing emergency regulation members bill. That the basis of that has had the government then call us and say, hey, listen, we're quite interested in some of your ideas in that bill. Would we be able to work together on some aspects of that? And so really this is where you say, yep, that makes sense for us to, you know, deal with urgent measures to work together to see whether we can create a greater supply, a faster supply of new houses, because the core issue here is the supply of houses, not the demand-driven factor, it's the supply-driven side of it. So, you know, that's a good example of us coming together and working on something and saying, well, you know, let's both sign up for that and support that together.
I'd like to talk a little bit about opening up after COVID. So National's sort of talked a little bit more about their plans this week, and one of the key things around that was planning to open up New Zealand at either 85% vaccination rates or the 1st of December, whichever comes sooner. If we weren't at 85% and we did open up on the 1st of December, is there any risk committing to a date like this? Public health experts have said it's important to be flexible, and there are examples such as last year in the UK where they set dates of freedom but later had to backtrack and go back into lockdown. Is there any sort of risk or concern with committing so hard to a date like that, do you think?
essentially, you know, the problem is that there's no real plan for government, from government at the moment, as to what's actually happening. And we're just drifting. And we are fundamentally in the situation, as we've talked about before, because we've had an abysmal rollout and a very late, delayed vaccination rollout plan compared to all the other countries on planet Earth. And so we are where we are, and we're now in a terrible lockdown going into our 10th week here in Auckland. And I can tell you, in Auckland, it is really tough for the listeners that are from outside of Auckland. We're dealing with families under immense stress and pressure. We're dealing with mental health and suicide issues. You're dealing with businesses going to the wall. It's not pleasant. But then you zoom back out and say, righto, at some point in time, you've got to say, look, everyone's been given an opportunity to get a vaccination. You're either left with the apathetic who just don't want to get it for some reason, and you're left with the anti-vaccination people who don't believe in a vaccination. Then the reality is this, which is that in New Zealand, it's been 98.3% of people going to hospital have been unvaccinated. So you know where the risk profile sits. It's with the unvaccinated. And so the question is, how long will you hold New Zealand, where 9 out of 10 New Zealanders have done the right thing and 1 out of 10 New Zealanders are holding us all to account and not able to get on with our daily lives?
Well, I'd like to talk about the unvaccinated, but first to just go back to my original question. Is it risky committing to a date 5 or 6 weeks in advance when we don't know what the situation is going to be then?
Look, I've seen many jurisdictions open up. It's partially open up at 70%. You know, with a lot of restrictions. Less quickly, you don't go from
what sort of jurisdictions are you talking about?
Oh, if you think about how New South Wales doing, you think about what Melbourne has done yesterday, hitting over 70%. They've been in the most lockdown city in the world. And at 70%, they've now started to say there's some restrictions that they've applied, quite restrictive, actually.
Right, but wasn't that a vaccination rate rather than a particular date a month down the road?
Yeah, so we're 90% now are first vaccinated, pretty much, or pretty close to that, around New Zealand, 85 to 90% today. And it's a three-week period from when you get your first vaccination to when you get your second one. December 1 is 6 weeks away. So there's plenty of time for everybody just to get off the couch and go get vaccinated. Get a taxi, catch a bus, go get vaccinated, get the second one done.
The thing I don't quite understand, though, I entirely understand the vaccination targets, and those are things that have been endorsed by public health experts, but there have been some critiques of when you set particular dates in the future rather than measures around vaccines, you could potentially go
very
wrong
simple.
And end up having to go lockdown later down the road.
Yeah, look, the maths of this thing, just say the run rate of the speed of which people are getting vaccinated in New Zealand, the fact that we've got over 85%, I think, second first dose, and we've got 6 weeks until we get the second dose number up to December the 1st, up to 85%. And there's a three-week lag between the first dose and the second dose, says that that's a very achievable thing. So that's why there's good correlation between that date and that number.
That was National Party MP Christopher Luxon. You're listening to The Wire on 95 BFM.